Welcome to Simply Us, a podcast by Rob and Victoria Tiedemann,
where we talk about life, marriage, minimalism, and everything fun.
Well, hello again.
Hi.
So here we are again doing episode 4 of Simply Us.
We've made it this far.
Yeah.
This is my favorite number.
I know. What's actually kind of funny to think about with this is that means that we've been doing this for 2 months already.
Wow. Doesn't really feel like it.
No, it really doesn't. It's been a very fast couple of months. Life moves pretty fast sometimes.
I don't remember the next line.
That's okay.
What's the next line?
You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Yeah. Man, we're full of movie quotes. That's something maybe we should talk about.
Yeah, we'll find time for doing something with that.
No, not movie quotes, but what I've mentioned to you about movies. What you did for a movie for me. His look.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You ruined a movie for me.
Oh, that. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that at some point.
You don't want to talk about it now?
We can talk about it now if you want. We don't have any questions this week, so we might as well talk about that. We'll probably make this episode a little bit shorter without the questions. We've been trying to actually get them a little shorter anyway, or at least I have. So not having questions, I guess, might help a little bit, but we still want questions. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, send us questions. It was sad to not receive any.
Yeah, but I mean, we do have a little bit of follow-up to questions from last week anyway, so.
And we got a lot of response this week, too.
Mm-hmm. As far as the movie quote thing, we'll talk about that because we kind of teased into that and we didn't even say anything else. So when we were in high school and we were, I don't even remember, might have started before we were even dating.
It was right when we started dating.
Yeah, I used to quote like 98% of Robin Hood Men in Tights by Mel Brooks.
But I'd quote constantly.
I would quote different parts of the movie all the time.
Yeah, and it's like I would hold his hand and he'd start quoting to me. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I mean, it was funny to me because I knew the movie, so I was.
And you would laugh at me because I had no idea what you were talking about.
Yeah. The funny part about it was that when she finally watched the movie, we were watching the movie and she just sat there saying, like, I already know this line. I know this line. It's not funny because I've already seen it.
I watched it with you and your sister and the two of you together for that movie. It's like you just quoted the whole movie.
Well, until we got to one part. There was one part that, I mean, I won't bother saying what it was because anybody that maybe hasn't seen this, I don't want to ruin it. But there was one part that I had never quoted. But before I get to that, while we were watching the movie, right, and as she said, my sister and I were quoting it. And we're quoting all the lines that she had already heard from all the time that I would walk around quoting the movie. So she's sitting there like, just whatever.
I wanted to like the movie so badly, too.
And like, it wasn't funny to her as she was watching it. Because like, she already had all the setups for all the punchlines, all the jokes. So it wasn't funny. But then one scene comes up that, for whatever reason, see? One scene comes up that I had never quoted. And that happens. She busts out laughing. Like, she like lost it the first time we watched it because it was just like, because it is a very funny part. It's completely out of the blue. And now I'm thinking about it.
I just acted it out to him too without saying, so I don't want to ruin the movie for everyone else because it's a funny movie. But when you hear it every day for months from someone, and it's amazing I stayed with you, but it's a good thing that I didn't base you off of your movie quotes. But we quote a lot of movies to each other regularly, but this movie, to be quoted to me when I had no idea, my dad and my brothers had seen this movie at one point, and I wasn't allowed to see it. So I was in my bedroom. And so to be 17 and I hear all these quotes from this movie I knew about, but it's like, oh yeah, maybe one day I'll see it. But there was nothing but that part for me. You said everything else. I could quote the whole movie now. So the moral of this, please don't ruin movies for other people that you find to be amazing, because people are not going to enjoy it. And I wish I could have enjoyed Men in Tights as much as you did, but...
Maybe if you watched it now, it would be more funny.
Well, now it's different because it's been a few years. I mean, I've seen it like two other times since.
Yeah, I know. But so it's still been a long time. It's been a long time, though, since you've seen it.
But still, like, that's just sad because you would say so much of it to me.
Oh, well. So anyway, relating back to the last episode, we wanted to follow up the question about where we go for inspiration. And we've neglected to mention on YouTube, there's a channel, The More We Explore, which is a couple that are basically living out of their Ford Econoline van and an Airstream. And this year, possibly even longer back than that, they've been traveling the country in that van and the Airstream, doing all kinds of different things, mountain biking and rock climbing and things, meeting up with people.
Well, first off, when you found out about them through Reddit when they had just started their channel.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, they were telling their story of minimalism and how they were going to...
I know they still owned their house when we first started watching, so...
But you had found them through Reddit and you showed it to me, so we've been following them since... started the channel.
Since whenever that was.
Exactly. So now it's like such a huge change compared to how they were.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. But
we felt bad because as soon as we finished recording, well not as soon as, like the following day.
Yeah, I think when I started editing.
We forgot. Yeah.
So yeah, I felt really bad about that. It's funny too that Micah always makes a point about he really likes watching Living Big in a Tiny House and The More We Explore. And now Art and Bree, he likes watching a lot too. Yeah. I feel really bad that we forgot them because we've been watching them, I think, longer than a lot of the other channels that we mentioned last episode. So it was just, whoops. So sorry, we're trying to make up for it. But also just relating to the last episode was really cool. We got a lot of feedback from people, like really happy to see So the Land and Cohesive Home both kind of gave us little shout outs. And it was neat to see. It was just cool.
Yeah, So the Land gave us a shout out on their newsletter,
which by the way, awesome. A quote from Dune. Jason, you're my brother.
And Cohesive Home posted on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much.
Yeah, so that was cool. Just like to see that because we're just, you know, a couple of people sitting in our son's bedroom with a Blue Yeti and a laptop. And
yeah, this room is the furthest away from. I mean, we have such a small place. And it's more long than anything, mm-hmm. So this room is more enclosed.
It's almost as far away from the boys as we can get while still being in the house. Because we're trying to cut down on their being loud when they're playing video games, and we're trying to do
and
this.
And they haven't played video games all week, so we said, okay, now podcast day, you can play a video game.
Yep. Okay, another thing that we did kind of forget from last week, or we had meant to talk about it and we just ran out of time.
Well, you got so into your talk about the Gorillaz album.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, you had a record that you bought a couple weeks ago, and you've been listening to a lot since
a
then.
A lot. Oh my goodness. The Wild Reeds, their album The World We Built, they're like an indie folk band, I suppose you would call them. Mm-hmm. Definitely folk. And I really, their harmonies are beautiful. And it's just, it made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the last time I cried listening to an album.
I had showed you their Tiny Desk concert, like, a while ago. And when I mentioned that, after you bought the record, you were like, oh, I don't even remember that.
Right.
And you're still looking at me like you don't remember that.
No, I do remember it because one of the songs that they did is on that album.
Oh, okay.
And because it started to hit me like, oh, yeah.
Yep, because I remember it was just a very simple... Like, it was a really, really good Tiny Desk concert. And when I showed it to you because of the harmonies, because it was really pretty harmonies and all that, so. But yeah.
It's a gorgeous album.
Mm-hmm.
All the songs are so good. And it has, the record has three sides. So, you know, two records, but there's three parts. So there's
two discs.
A, B, and C.
Yeah, and just one disc that only used one
nothing
side.
Nothing on one side. But it's so good. And I have to listen to it all the way through, and I just love to just relax and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have something that we mentioned last episode that we were going to talk about this episode.
Yeah, let's talk about...
The paradox of choice.
It does sound like something that should have like the paradox of choice, 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 choice. It does sound like it should be that, but it's not like that at all. Or maybe to some people it is.
Or to us, it is.
To us, it is. Sure, it is now. It sounds like something like from Doctor Who, but this is simply us, not Who's On, so I'll take it easy with that. I kind of set it up a little bit, and I don't know, I'm going to try not to make this too much of like a rambling monologue, but, you know, whatever. Just, I'll try. So say things in between, so I'm not just rambling. Like I said, I did kind of set it up a little bit with the last episode, and I didn't really bother to write down any notes for how to discuss this.
But you've been talking about this for a few months to me.
To you, I've been talking about it for a couple months. Few months, whatever. But I know it's something that I had considered long before I even started talking to you about it. And it was something that I had considered even before I had heard...
He's a sci-fi geek.
The term... Well, it's not even a sci-fi thing at all. Basically, I had actually thought about this whole idea, this whole concept, before I even heard the term paradox of choice. One way I'll set it up to do the explanation is that when I was younger, well, probably not just when I was younger, probably now, I'm a little bit like OCD and ADD or even ADHD. And I think probably the OCD is more the point that the paradox of choice will address. But so when I was younger, I'd be like very obsessive with certain things, different random yes. things all the time.
Yes.
So for instance, just all to fast forward to the best explanation I have for the paradox of choice, somewhere in the end of 2010, like the middle of 2011, is when I first started getting into Linux. When I started playing with Linux on my laptop and I started trying to convert, mm-hmm. I spent almost a whole year bouncing back and forth between whether I was going to use Linux on my computer or Windows. Like, and you can tell definitely, you remember that I went back and forth.
Hey, it was annoying.
So I would go back and forth. I don't even remember how often, but it was probably...
Every day.
No.
Yeah.
It was close to that, but I don't think it was quite every day.
You'd be like, point is, I went back to this now. Like, didn't you just change it? Yeah, but I wanted to try something else.
Yeah. Eventually, though, I did settle on I was going to use Linux, and I wasn't going to use Windows. And so for quite a while, I did use only Linux. But the problem with that is that Linux is open source software. That's not a problem. Open source is not a problem. That's a very good thing. But it's open source, so lots of different people will do lots of different things. Like, you know, when you look at Windows, you have your Windows versions, whatever, Vista, XP, 2000. You know, those are Windows versions. You pretty much, you get Windows and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. With Linux, it's completely different.
You could set it up all...
Yeah, basically, it's
visually, it can look different.
Yeah, it can visually look completely different from one... They call them distributions instead of versions. By the way, that the humming that just came on is our air conditioning. If you hear that, I'm sorry. I'll try to edit that out.
Better than having the honking that we have outside if we had the windows open. Yeah.
So you can make all kinds of changes to Linux that you can't with Windows. Like you can go and we said you can change everything about the way it looks. It behaves completely different graphically. But beyond that, you can even do lots of different things to tweak the underlying system on it. The thing is, I started using Linux because I wanted to do audio stuff like this. Podcasts or, you know, multi-track recording, like doing like recording music and stuff like that.
Right.
And so whenever I use Windows to do that stuff, I'd always have problems, you know, whether it's drivers or it was like slow, there was a latency delay and issues. I always had issues with Windows.
Okay.
So I started using Linux. It's so weird. All of a sudden it was like, I'm talking to you, but I'm not trying to talk to you. But
you could talk to me all you want.
I know. So I went to Linux because I figured with having the freedom to tweak more that I could maybe get a little bit better performance out of everything I was doing. Basically, I spent a year and a half where almost every single day I would try a different distribution on my computer. And if it wasn't trying a different distribution, I would be looking about other ways to tweak kernel settings or stuff like that, just different.
You were never satisfied and you changed it so much that was all you were using your computer for.
Exactly. I was spending more time experimenting with how to make Linux work than I ever did with just using the Linux computer. I mean, I did settle at some points for some things. Like for a while, I did have two Linux distributions installed on my computer. One I used for recording that I had tweaked to make it work right. So I did, with all the tweaking and stuff I did figure out how to make that work. But the problem is, I would still spend time, even with the other regular use version, playing with stuff all the time.
You know, it was very frustrating. We've already said
it was all the time. And the other thing, too, is that not only would I be spending all this time tweaking, but let's say it was late at night. It was like 10:30, and I was trying to tweak something, and I'd run into a problem. I had a hardware that didn't work natively. I had to go and do special stuff with configurations.
Okay.
If it was like 10:30 at night, and I was trying to work on that, and I hadn't solved it, I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Yeah.
So I spent all this time playing with it, and not very much time like using it, and or even the fact that when I would come home from work, some days there were days where I come home from work before I even sat down at the dinner table, I would go and turn my computer on and start booting into a new install.
Yeah, and I'd be like, "That can wait."
That is.
So explain this to that me. What's that have to do with paradox of choice? Well,
that is kind of the paradox of choice without the explanation. Let me explain it though. So okay. The paradox of choice is just the idea that when you have so many choices, like for instance in Linux, having all these choices of different graphic environments, mm-hmm. what package manager you want to use,
right.
different kernel versions that you can use, all these different things, all these different choices limit you from being able to make a decision and just do something.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that I can explain how the paradox of choice can be counteracted, this isn't necessarily the way it's going to work for everybody, but my example of how I can say, like, this shed the light on the paradox of choice to me is, in late 2015, my dad mentioned that he was going to be replacing his laptop. He had a 2011 MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know, it's kind of running out of space and it's a little tired. And he was in the middle of doing this stuff where he was doing his own audio production work. And he was stuck at a hospital, so he had to use the laptop, and it was working well for him. But he was, again, like I said, running out of storage space, and it's only a 13-inch, and he was like, oh, you know, it'd be really cool to have one of those, like, 17-inch MacBooks, MacBook Pro. And so the woman that he was doing the audio production work with said, okay, well, I haven't actually paid you much at all for, like, doing the work, so let me buy you this replacement computer. And so he was like, okay.
Wow, and that's a nice present.
So meanwhile, I had already had it in my mind that I was going to replace your computer because it was tired.
It was so dying like crazy and it wasn't working and it would turn off on its own.
Exactly. Yeah, so the point is, I had my computer, which was relatively new. You had yours that was dying. And so I was trying to figure out what we were going to do because, you know, we weren't going to spend money on anything at that time.
No.
Meanwhile, my dad mentions to me that he's going to be getting this replacement computer. So he says, oh, there's going to be this computer is going to be available.
And you're like, ew, a Mac. And I'm a Linux guy.
Exactly. So my first reaction was, ugh, Macs. And then, like, for some reason, I started thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, but then again, if I get the Mac, I can put Linux on it. And so I'll have, like, the nicer hardware. And then I'll just pass my computer down to you, was my intention initially.
Yeah.
So I set up with my dad. I was going to go pick up the Mac. And I picked it up. And he's like, do me a favor, though. He said, I'm more than happy to give you the computer. But try using the Mac software. Try using OS X at the time. Now it's Mac OS, but whatever. He said, just try it for a little bit. And just see, you know, give it a shot. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll try it out for a few days or something like that, you know, and then I'm just going to end up wiping it and putting Linux on it. But what ended up happening was that within like 3 hours, I went and cleaned out the computer. I made it like it was like factory fresh install, set it up for myself, and started doing stuff on it. And within like 3 hours, I was hooked on using the Mac. So
it worked the way you wished it to work.
Right. So it worked the way I wanted it to work. I literally had to do nothing on it. But the whole point of my telling the story about how I ended up with the Mac is that I have not changed anything on this computer in the year and a half that I've owned it. I have not wiped the operating system once on this computer. I've only done, I think, 2 upgrades to the OS since I had it, which only involves running the update program. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wipe it and redo it.
And you actually use it.
Yeah, I actually use the computer. So the point is, like, I don't know the last time that I had a computer where I was running the same install for as long as I have been on this.
So now what do you do with your extra time now that you're not fiddling
now I either spend time watching things with the boys. Like, that's the thing that's crazy to think about now, is that a year and a half ago, I wouldn't have watched Art and Bree, or So the Land, or Good Mythical Morning, or, you know, any of the stuff that we talked about on the last episode. I wouldn't have watched that stuff because I would have been too busy playing with my computer.
I also think part of you not being so involved with the computer stuff has given you more time with us, not inside, but like outside too. Because you don't want to go fiddle with your computer anymore. You want to go outside for a walk.
Yeah, well, like, know? Stuff like, I'd rather take the boys out.
So let's go for a hike and things like that.
Yeah, which we've done. We've even done where we said, like, okay, we're going to go over to, you know, like, there's a whatever you want to call it. There's a state park near us called Pyramid Mountain. Well, not even that. There was one day when we went to a zoo that I sat around one afternoon. And again, I was actually on my computer playing around. I was on the Mac playing around. And I was looking at stuff and I was like, just something snapped that day. And I was like, I'm going to find somewhere for us to go.
Yeah.
Literally, I just said, so I'm going to find somewhere for us to go.
You could have either just sat there all day inside or done something exciting with your family.
Well, exactly. Because if I had been playing with Linux, I would have been doing that. I would have been sitting in my bedroom, doing whatever it was that I was doing, wasting time doing that instead of spending time being out and doing things together.
And it's
had fun. Long roundabout way of talking about it, but that is the point of the paradox of choice, is that when you have so much other stuff that you concern yourself with, you forget about how simple it can be. I think that's kind of the whole point of minimalism and simple living. Without, maybe they don't always put the name on it, but really, that's kind of what the point of a lot of stuff is. That's the point of KonMari, and that's the point of my life uniform.
Right.
That it's exactly the paradox of choice is the reason why I decided not to live that way.
Well, and I think for me, it's like, I stopped playing video games just a few months ago. I played Dota 2 all the time. Well, I guess not all the time. It slowed down a lot.
Yeah.
And it would be just a few times a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I stopped a few months ago now. And since then, I've been running.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been gardening.
Going out for walks with your mom.
Going out for walks. Yeah, I take my mom to the park for walks once a week.
Sounds so bad to say.
I take my mom for a walk at the park. I do. I do.
But I think the best point, though, is, like you said, the garden.
Yeah.
Because, if you know, the amount of time that you had spent playing video games, Dota 2 specifically, for a while.
I would spend like 2 or 3 hours playing this game that now is spent outside doing things.
Yeah. And it's good for the boys, too, because they see that, you know, you're taking them out, doing the homeschool group stuff, the co-ops, and just that stuff used to not happen. And I guess, you know, you could probably sit there and say, like, you run into the possibility of the paradox of choice with the idea of taking the boys out. If you have a lot of choices about where to take them, you might end up, like, getting so frustrated you end up not going anywhere. But it's more about for yourself. Like, you know, if you bog yourself down so much, you can wear yourself out to the point that you're not even worth it to anybody else.
I have a story that I need to share about my parents. So my parents are definitely the opposite of minimalists, and it's very frustrating. Recently, my godbrother, he found out he's gonna have a baby. My mom and dad were asked by my godfather to get my old crib that my godfather, godmother, and my dad made together. The three of them carved it out, and it's beautiful. It's this nice dark wood. And my godfather is really good at woodworking, and my dad was a carpenter. So I don't really know what my godmother did, but she helped too. So whatever she did, she's been dead for 6 years. So my mom, she kept this crib for forever. And it's special to my godfather because of the work he put into it with his wife. And he wants this crib for his grandchild, his granddaughter, that's going to be born in, I don't know when she's due. But anyway, she's having a baby shower soon. And so he asked for it, and my mom and dad brought it down. And so I went over their house, and I see my crib. I'm like, what is that doing there? And my dad's like, oh, your godfather wants it. And I said, okay, well then give it to them. And he's like, oh, we can't do that. We can't give it to them. I was like, why not? And he's like, oh, mom wants to keep it for future grandchildren. Now, here's the thing, okay? I'm 33 years old. I used that crib. My godbrother used the crib. And my godsister used the crib. And you could only use it for like the first 5-6 months anyway, because it swings too. They have a function where you can make it stop or swing, and like by pulling out a switch thing. And so it's really cool, but yeah, I just feel like, why do you still have this thing? It's old. You don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said that my godfather wanted it, I was like, okay, cool. Get it out of here. I didn't even know you had this thing.
Well, see, you already skipped something that you had made the point to me about when you talked to me about the whole situation. And that's that when your mom said, oh, but you know, I want it for future grandkids, neither of our sons had ever spent any time in it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. My parents, they in their lifetime, their grandkids, the ones they have never touched this crib.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, why keep something for future grandkids that you're probably not going to even have?
Mm-hmm.
And when you didn't even use it for the ones you do have.
Yep.
I'm just frustrated that they kept it all these years and didn't use it. And that now that it's getting use, why do you want it back? Is that wrong that I'm thinking this way about this old crib?
Well, I told you no, but we'll see if anybody else responds. Because
what do you guys feel about this crib situation? Is I really feel like we could pass it along to lots of people. It has an initial carved into it. Not my first initial, but it's not even my dad's real last name. It's because as we established.
It's your maiden name.
It's my maiden name that was given to us that's not officially our real last name by blood. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of put onto us.
But the point is, though, but it works because your last initial is J, and then your godbrother and sister,
their first names
were, yeah.
So yeah, so that's why it works. So I don't know what their daughter is, if she's going to be a J or not. Maybe she is.
But it doesn't even matter, because the point is that your parents don't need it to be there, for one. And the person who's requesting it has a use for it.
Yeah.
And the person who is requesting it was also probably one of the main people that took part in making it to begin with.
Right.
So there's really no reason for him not to get it.
And I have no connection to it. You know, I don't even remember it when I was little. I've seen it a few times in mm-hmm. pictures or whatever, but I have no connection. And my mom, she holds on to it so much because of my godmother, but I have so many memories with her mm-hmm. that I don't need this crib.
Right.
And I just don't understand. I'm just so bad with sentiment.
Mm-hmm. But I told you I agree with you that that's the way it is, so.
Yeah. So I just thought it was an interesting story, considering that we're minimalist and simple living mm-hmm. people, that I love the art that was put behind it, but I don't feel like it could be functional sitting in a loft that
well,
they have.
Well, if it's in a loft
in a
hidden away, then there is literally not serving any purpose except for to keep some of the dust off the floor. And then otherwise, though, yeah, this is one of those things that I think about if we were to live in like a tiny house or even a smaller house, does it serve any purpose? Because imagine living in like an 89 square foot house and you have this crib that's there
oh,
serving
what's this there?
No
oh, it's
purpose
just pretty.
Except for like maybe to put stuff in. But you can have shelves on the wall that you put stuff in. You don't need that.
Yeah.
So that's just where I come from with it.
But that's all that we have time for today.
So yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking around with this one. If you have, I tend to ramble a little bit, and I'm not always the most concise person when it comes to explaining things because my brain goes all over the place. But it's a neat topic that I think relates pretty well to our whole thing of simple living. And it was.
Oh, we don't have any reviews yet. If someone could leave us a review, that would be really nice.
Yeah, because we're not going to do that. We mentioned that we're not going to do that. So
yeah,
we're still not going to do that. So yeah, review it. That would be cool. But anyway, hope this wasn't too bad, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.